Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we think of what makes a perfect day, and you know, one fine day when this happens and that happens, that'll be a perfect day. And those of you that have ever gone through a wedding, whether you were the one getting married or helping out with the wedding, and you're trying to plan for the perfect day, and it seems like there's so many details you're trying to put together to make a perfect day. But it's the idea of two people coming into a willful commitment, and they say, I will, under the banner of love and in the presence of God and family, that is the perfect moment. It's not the colors that were chosen. It's not you know, whether you decided to have this song or that song. It's the moment when two people out of their own breath come into a willingness to give into each other. That's the perfect moment. And so my message for this morning is a perfect moment. A perfect moment. So if you could turn quickly, I know we'll have it on the screen for you, but Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1, Minister Regina already started to read from this chapter. It is a famous Christmas chapter, Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 1. Anybody had any challenges in their life this year? Anybody have any challenges? I wonder how many perfect moments you had throughout your challenges. Because I have found that challenge doesn't stop perfect moments. In fact, challenge is often the candle stand for your perfect moment. Some of your biggest challenges are your moments to really recognize and touch in with God's will for your life. I know that in some of my greatest moments, I was crying. I know in some of my greatest moments that it wasn't until later when I looked back that I saw that it was a perfect moment. I remember my wife and I, we were going to have Tennessee, and I remember that moment when all of a sudden, from what was in her belly, when they brought him out, he all of a sudden, he was in a ball, and he stretched out, and I saw, like, he had his own life within him. He wasn't just something in my wife. He wasn't just a thing. But he was a creation of God, and he was coming out in that moment to meet the world in which he was going to spend the rest of this natural lifetime, and we were going to find out who he is, what was in him. And then likewise, my two daughters, I got a chance to see that, and I say those were perfect moments, but trust me, in those perfect moments, my wife was screaming. There was blood. There was pain. And we needed help. We needed other people to help us. Sometimes in your perfect moment, you might be in a situation where you're getting help. And sometimes in a perfect moment, you might be giving it. But a perfect moment will always rally around God's perfect will. So when you start finding God's perfect will in your life, you can rally around that moment, whether it's one of pain, one of challenge, one of struggle. But if God be in it, it's a perfect moment. So picking up from verse 1, again, that is chapter 2 of Luke. It says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be taxed. And my wife and I were talking about this idea that the whole world's going to be taxed. And if you were to go back and read from Matthew, the New Testament, the first book, chapter 1, it begins to tell you the lineage or where Jesus was going to be born from, through Abraham, through David, 14 generations from David to captivity, and then 14 generations from the captivity of Babylon all the way to Jesus. But one of the great stories in there is we know that Jesus sits on the throne of King David. It's the throne that was prepared for the Christ to sit on, and King David, and so he had an everlasting throne. It said from the kingship or the throne of David, the Messiah will have the kingdom for everlasting times, and he'll be known as the Prince of Peace, for he'll rule his people with peace. And so we were looking for someone to come out of the lineage of David. But if you go back to David, David had a perfect moment. David had a perfect moment when everybody was afraid and challenged. David came on the scene as a young teenage boy, and here was one Goliath, standing up as the champion for the Philistines or the enemy or the challenges in your life. And this champion that had never lost before and came from a family of champions was intimidating and was crying out, and for 40 days he was speaking evil and blasphemy against God and God's people and the things of God, so that people felt like their God was too small to deal with the situation at hand. And oftentimes, you know, we'll recognize, we'll say, I don't believe God's too small in my circumstance, but I just don't feel like I'm big enough, because we don't see God working through us and we don't expect that. But King David, who hadn't been listening to the enemy for 40 days, he came on the scene from singing psalms and writing music. He came on the scene from spending time and playing his harp in the night for the Lord. He came on the scene from watching over his father's sheep as God watched over him. And it's amazing sometimes when you show up in situations where your meditation is, what is the last thing you've been meditating on, will kind of position you whether you're ready for your perfect moment or not. So all of the armies who had been battling, had been tested in battle, all the armies who had equipment and had the strength of the military, and they had their brothers in arms, and all of the military that had been trained and probably were soldiers of soldiers and children of soldiers, and you come up to a situation, but in all of their preparation, they weren't ready for the moment, because they were receiving an evil report, and their meditation in their mind and their heart wasn't prepared for the moment. But King David, and I call him King David because he was already anointed as a young child, but King David showed up on the scene, and hearing Goliath speak evil, said, this is a perfect moment. And then he started hearing the conversation with the soldiers, and the soldiers began to say, did you hear the news that the King Saul said whoever could defeat this great giant would not only be well known and respected in Israel, but he would get to marry the king's daughter. She looked good too. Not only would somebody get to marry the king's daughter, but his whole household would become wealthy and would never have to pay tax in that land ever again. Oh my, this sounds like a great moment. And it's amazing that sometimes what is being offered in moments, all we can see is Goliath. All we can see is who's not able to and what I can't do. But King David showed up on the scene and thought what he could do. And so he heard the report and he started to ask again. He said, is it true? What exactly will the man who defeats this Goliath, what will he receive? And it was rehearsed back to his ears that whoever could defeat this great Goliath, his father and that household would never have to pay tax ever again. That's an amazing thing. Trust me, listen, Tennessee, if there's a decree that goes out that you can do something where I won't have to pay tax again, please do it. And the rest of the parents said, amen. Can you imagine how big of a deal that was going to be? That immediately was going to change the whole future of his family for generation after generation just because of that one thing, never to pay tax again, ever. Let's read it again. And it says, and it came to pass that in those days that a decree went from Caesar Augustus that all the world should pay him tax. Now, we remember this Jesus to be born comes from the family of David. And what did we just hear about David's family? God said they never have to pay tax again. And here comes Caesar Augustus standing up in pride on this earth and saying, everybody in the world, what he was suggesting is, I have all power and authority, and everybody's going to bow to me. And your bowing is going to be for you to pay your tax to me. And so in that moment of pride, I see another Goliath. I see another Goliath trying to take kingship over not just some people, but all people. And in that moment, we know that Christ was born on this wise. Let's keep reading. It said, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And if you go back and study the histories, there was a Cyrenius who governed in Syria. It makes it accurate. The Bible is perfect in accuracy with the different people it had in political position and the timing of their position. It's just confirmation for us as scholars. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because it was the house and lineage of David. He had to go back. And so this proves that Jesus was coming from a family from the lineage of David. His earthly father was from the bloodline of King David. And the bloodline of King David should never pay tax. But here they are being forced to leave where they were hoping to raise their family. You ever been pushed in a situation where it didn't seem like you wanted to go, but you have to? I want you to know that with God, it's a setup for your perfect moment. It's a setup for your perfect moment. We continue to read that it was to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Raise your hand if you've been great with child before. Now, for those of us like myself that can't raise their hand, maybe you have a different idea of what great with child means. I imagine great with child meaning you're getting to the point now where nothing seems to matter except the fact that what's in you needs to come out. And that you've kind of had it up with everyone around you and everything going on because this is the most important thing and not everybody else is getting it like you're getting it, right? And so that challenge of great with child means that maybe you're not even sleeping at night. Maybe you're too uncomfortable for what you're carrying to even sleep. Anybody ever outside of childbirth but just had restless nights where whatever you were carrying just seemed to take away sleep? Isn't that amazing that you can carry something that can take sleep from you? But don't fret. I believe it's part of your perfect moment. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. There was no more holding. There was no more waiting. It was time for what was in her to come out of her. And I'm just believing that in your perfect moment, what's in you needs to come out. What's in you needs to come out. Everybody needs to see. You ever just known that there was greatness in you, or that there was a calling in you, or that there was a hope in you, or that there was something special in you? You ever just known and sensed that? Maybe within your family, you can see there's something special about our family. There's something special about this, what I'm connected to. But there has to be a moment where it births. And Christ birthed in this world so that we could see. Let's keep going. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. I've preached messages in the past on Christmas. There was no room for him. Life got so busy around there because of the helter-skelter of everybody trying to get their taxes paid before a certain date. Otherwise, they were going to get on Caesar Augustus' naughty list. And so everybody was hustling and bustling, trying to get everything finished so that they could just get back to their life. When in the middle of everybody trying to get back to their life, God was trying to offer life. It was a perfect moment, but nobody had room for the moment. And we're trying to suggest that today, even as our kids were telling us, the stuff that they love is just in small moments. Some people said, just sitting down and putting the food in my mouth with my family around. Some people said a pie, very specifically a pumpkin pie, you know? And in order for us to have that moment, someone has to labor first. Someone has to think, I'm going to make this pie. I'm going to put it out there because I have the hope in my heart that there's going to be a perfect moment that comes from this pie. It's going to be that moment when someone sits down and cuts that little piece off and takes a little bit of that vanilla ice cream and hooks it together, and I don't know how you do it, and smushes it up a little bit and puts it in their mouth like a blizzard, and they close their eyes and they hum. Just a perfect moment. But it's the idea that in order for moments to happen like this, somebody has to think ahead. Somebody has to put things in motion for your perfect moment. And I am suggesting that great gift giving is setting people up for their perfect moment. Right? Great gift giving is setting people up for their perfect moment. I'll give you one more example with my family. My daughter, Devin, She was 9 when I came in on the scene. And from 9 years old till now, called me Daddy. And if you know Devin, she's a beautiful young girl. She's talented, and she's also a social butterfly. She loves to talk with people and be around people. And I felt like God put me in her life for a purpose. And so I wanted to, and it was even prophesied. We had an apostle come and prophesy to me and let me know in front of her and Kara that it was our job to make sure that she was introduced to her husband as a virgin. This was as a young girl. We were given this task. And here I come on the scene as a stepdad, but I realize I'm not a stepdad. I'm her perfect moment dad. I'm her perfect moment dad. And we began to set things in order in the house to protect her. We began to put things in her life to help her. And she began to find her own independence and begin to get frustrated with some of our protection and some of our timelines of when she should be where and doing what. And she began, like most young people, to get real frustrated with the idea of I'm capable and you don't see that I'm capable of handling this myself. And so there were times where she didn't go to the party. And I didn't look like the perfect moment dad. And there was places she didn't get to go with other people. And there were things that she didn't get. And one of the things that would happen is, well, everybody else. And I want you to know your perfect moment isn't found in everybody else. Your perfect moment is not found in everybody else. It's found in you. And I remember the pride and joy that I had personally in delivering my daughter and handing her off at her wedding day as that virgin that God required to her husband for their perfect moment. She didn't realize that all the stuff she was going through was a setup for a perfect moment. All the challenge, but somebody had to think ahead of what you think ahead of. Some people had to think further down the line. And I want you to know God has already thought. The Bible says he knows his thoughts and his plans for you, for a hope and a future, an expected end. He has an expected end for you and for me. And so when he sent Jesus way back on this wise, he was expecting perfect moments for everybody who would receive what he was offering. He was already setting up your perfect moments. And I want you to know you have a life of perfect moments in God waiting for you to discover them. But you have to make sure you enter in the day with you being in Christmas, you purposely being part of God's gift to you. And we say a saying in our prayer life through Scripture that we say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. I want you to know every time you say that, you're suggesting that there's a perfect moment in this day in God waiting for me to discover. And I'm going to discover my moment. I'm going to discover my opportunity. And I believe that this is that. Has anybody had their perfect moment today yet? Has anybody had their perfect moment today? I only have about 4 more minutes in front of you. There was no room at the inn, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Let's just keep reading. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Their perfect moment comes, and their response is fear. I want you to know every perfect moment might not make you laugh. Every perfect moment might not make you cheer. Minister Regina said it from the beginning. We need to take example of these angels who recognized the monumental moment that was before them. The earth had been waiting for her king for thousands of years. And on that day, on that moment, though it was outside of the pleasures of a palace, though it was with the company of animals, though that She had to wrap him and put him in a manger. Just so you know, that lovely manger is the trough for the feeding of animals. And where animals would feed, a perfect moment took place. That God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever in the whole world, regardless of your circumstances, would receive him, that he would lead you in a life full of perfect moments. But we have to make sure we're the ones that have made room for him. Have you made room for him today? Do you have room for a perfect moment? Perfect moments require you to let unforgiveness go. You can't hold on to unforgiveness and have your perfect moment at the same time. You have to be willing. It becomes your gift back to God. Since you gave me the life of your Son, I'm willing to give you this unforgiveness for that perfect moment. What do you have to give for your perfect moment? Sometimes it's giving your pride. You have to lay your pride down to have your perfect moment. Scripture tells us that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Everybody will do that. But you don't have to wait for everybody to do it to have your perfect moment. You can put pride aside. You can put the cares of the world and the fears of death and damnation and coming present with God, and you can meet him for yourself and have your perfect moment. Just trying to encourage you that today is a setup for a perfect moment. Today is a setup for a perfect moment. This year is not over. We're still in the season of a perfect moment. I just want to read one last scripture. We're going to turn to Ecclesiastes 1 and 11. We're going to read chapter 3, verse 1 and verse 11. We're just going to read these two, and I will close it up, and we're going to end with two songs in which you're going to sing. But Ecclesiastes 3, 1. It says, to everything there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. To everything, to absolutely everything, there's a season and a time. So when Jesus was going to be born, there was a season. And the wise men understood that there was a season and began to follow the star because they had been traveling before his birth. They had been traveling when the season was exposed to them. They began to look for their perfect moment when they recognized that it was the season for the time. So we have to be the ones that recognize our seasons, because God has everything. If it has a purpose to it, it has a season around it, and it also has a time within it. And so the wise men, those that the Bible counted as wise, before the time began to already look for that moment in the season. And I want you to know this is that season for you. You should be looking for what's good and perfect in this season, not for what's wrong and what the problem is. You need to refocus that what God did was his perfect plan and purpose for everybody, for their seasons and times, to no longer have the influence of sin and death and condemnation, but that everybody under the peace and goodwill of God would be able to have everything God ever originally intended for you. So there's a season around your time and you're in it. Be patient in your season, for the time will come. Verse 11 in our closing verse. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. You have a hope in you sometimes, but you have to be willing to deal with your challenge. You have to be willing to face Goliath. You have to be willing to move when you're great with child. You have to be willing to have tears come down your eyes and know that it's still your season just because you're in tears. You have to be hurt by what someone else did to you, but still be in your season. You have to be able to look and see that you don't have everything on your Christmas list, but it's still your season. You have to be able to recognize that maybe you didn't vote for this person or that person, but it's still your season. You have to be able to look and see, no matter what the Dow Jones says, that this is still my season. You have to be able to look and see who came to the party you invited them to and who didn't come, but it's still my season. Your season and your time isn't determined by everything being perfect around you. But your perfect moment is when you're able to see that whatever I've gone through is made perfect right here in this moment. Every tear is perfect. Every sacrifice is perfect right now, right here, and I declare it. This is my time, and this is my moment. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over all of us. The gift that you have given has opened up a new season. And in this season, there are perfect moments of your purpose every day waiting for us. And Lord, like children, we get to discover it. Like we're at the beach for the first time, looking under rocks to see what we've never seen before. So do we enter into each day, knowing that it's a season and time in which you have set up for us to enjoy your good pleasure. For it is your good pleasure to give us the kingdom. And we just thank you, and we declare this is that day, and these are those times, and we are your people, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. 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 Would you stand with me? Going to get a little help, but we're going to, just like we did on those that first song with the children, we're going to sing two carols on our way out. Is that all right? And so come all you faithful.